Everybody, we are starting a new Chumash today, the Chumash of Bamidbar, the first of the five Chumashim. The Chumash of Bamidbar is called also Chumash HaPkudim, the Chumash of those who are counted. And when we look into the first parasha, the one that we will read this Shabbat, we will see that it really deals with counting. There is a commandment to count the Jewish people. It's a very detailed commandment. They are counted in many different ways. And the Torah repeats a lot the concepts of counting. The Torah tells us to count them as individuals, then to count them as tribes, then to count them as groups of three tribes, the same way that they encamped around the Mishkan. On each direction, there are three tribes, and we get the numbers of all of those. Even though if we get the number of every tribe, obviously we can do the combination and now know how many are three tribes, how many are six tribes, right? And definitely how many are all of them. But the Torah gives us all the numbers many times. More than this, the tribe of Levi is counted in this chapter, and it's also detailed by families, by the jobs that they do. So the whole parasha deals with the concept of counting. And it's interestingly enough that Parashat Bamidbar is read at the time that we do another counting, the counting of the Omer. As we know, from the second day of Pesach till Shavuot, we count 49 days. And here it's also not just counting 49 days, but the Torah tells us to count the days, to count the weeks, and that's how we really say it. Hayom shmona yamim laomer, shem shavu echad v'yom echad laomer. Today it's the eighth day, which is 1 week and 1 day, right? The Torah gives us specifics how to count in Sfirat HaOmer as well. And as we know, there is always a connection between the times that we are at in the year and what we read in the parasha. What means, in other words, there is an inner connection between Sfirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, and the counting of the Jewish people in our week's portion. And from the counting of the Omer, we can learn about the counting of the Jewish people. From the counting of the Jewish people, we can add understanding to the concept of the counting of the Omer. Because both of them deal with counting. And if you understand the concept of counting, we'll get a better inner understanding of the counting of the Omer, as well as the counting of the Jewish people in our week's portion. Every week, after we read the portion, we read the chapter from prophets, the Haftarah. As we know, there was a time that the Jewish people were prohibited from reading the parasha by the non-Jews, by the authorities. So instead, they read a chapter from prophets that reminded them, that concentrates on the same topic as the main topic of the parasha. So the chapters that we'll read after Parashat Bamidbar obviously will do somehow with the concept of counting as well, because that's the topic of Parashat Bamidbar. So I want to look at one pasuk in this chapter that discusses the counting of the Jewish people and gives us an insight about what the counting is all about. It's in Hosea, that's the name of the prophet in Treyasar. There is a combination of 11 short prophecies of 11 prophets that are not too long, and they are put together, and one of them is Hosea. And in chapter 2 in Hosea, there is a pasuk, famous pasuk that says as follows, V'haya mispar b'nei Yisrael, as some can translate, V'haya mispar b'nei Yisrael, kechol hayam, asher lo imad, v'lo yisafer merov. And I want to read it to you in the translation. Okay, so what it says is, verse number 1 in chapter 2, here it is, okay. Yet the number of the children of Israel will be like the sand of the sea. In what way will it be like the sand of the sea? So the verse tells us, which can neither be measured, not counted. Neither, it's the number of the Jewish people, will be like the sand of the sea that cannot be counted, that cannot be measured. When we look at this pasuk, it seems that one part of the pasuk contradicts the other, because we start by saying the number of the Jewish people, meaning there is a number to the Jewish people. And it continues to say, it's like the sand by the sea, of the sea, that cannot be measured, cannot be counted. So is it a number? If it's a number, it can be counted. If it cannot be counted, it's not a number. So it seems that one part of the pasuk contradicts the other one. And the Gemara really pays attention to it. And the Gemara compares it to another place where we seem to have the same concept, speaking about numbers, and one part of the pasuk seems to contradict the other. And this is by Abraham Avinu already. When Hashem spoke to Abraham, he took him out of his tent, and he told him, look to the heavens and count the stars. Usfor et hakochavim. So if you are told to count the stars, obviously it indicates that there is a number. And then it continues, im tuchal isfor otam, if you'll be able to count them. What says, it's impossible. So if it's impossible, why is he told to count? Right? Again, the same problem that we have here. So the Gemara answers, and as you'll see, we'll need an explanation to the answer of the Gemara. On the superficial level, we don't see how the answer really solves the problem. But about Abraham, the Gemara says as follows. Lelamed, it comes to teach us this contradiction, seemingly contradiction between having a number and not being able to count the stars, right? Comes to teach us something about the Jewish people, because what's written right after is, that's how your children will be. Meaning, as the kochavim are something that has a number, because Hashem tells them count, so the Jewish people have a number. But, im tuchal isfor otam, if you can count them, what indicates, no, they cannot be counted. So the Midrash refers now to the Jewish people, right? What this pasuk really indicates, that's how your children will be. And the Midrash says as follows, it comes to teach us that Hashem showed Abraham one, then two, then three, then 12, then 70, then 600,000. And then, why did he do it? Then he showed him, im tuchal isfor otam, if you can count them. Meaning, first he showed him numbers, starting from 1, 2, 3, 12, 70, 600,000, but obviously we know what it refers to different stages in Jewish history, in the buildup of the Jewish nation, starting with one Abraham, adding Yitzchak, it's two, then Yaakov, it's three, then the tribes, it's 12, then 70, it's the people who go down to Egypt, right? And then 600,000 when they came out of Mitzrayim, when they became a nation. And then he tells Abraham, up till this time, there is a number. Then I'm telling you, will you be able, if you can count them, meaning they'll come from something that is accountable, that can be counted, to something that is not anymore. Le'arot lo shekach ani marbe otan ba'olam. And by this he shows Avraham Avinu how Hashem marbe otam ba'olam, makes them many, makes them great. Now, how does this answer the question of counting and not counting? Being able to count and not being able to count. So let's go back to the stars. This is the example that Hashem gave Abraham, right? As a parable for the multiplication or the number of the Jewish people. There is a verse in Tehillim, in Psalms, that speaks about the number of the stars. And it says, Hamotzi b'misfar tzva'am, Hashem brings out the stars every night with a number, meaning there is a specific number of stars that are coming out, shine in the beginning of every night, start shining at the beginning of every night and are shining through the night. And then it's written, Lechulam b'shem ikra, to every one of them that are included in this number, Hashem calls a name. So in the beginning, we speak about them as a group without identifying everyone. Hashem brings them out as an army with a number. And then we go into a different level. Lekulam b'shem ikra. Hashem calls them by name. Each one has a name. Something more personal. Something more that indicates something more that is of inner value. A mispar, something general, right? But there is an inner thing that is indicated here too, and this is the name of each and every star. Okay? So we need to explain all of it, right? The seemingly contradiction between being counted and not being counted, right? And what it means. What is clear is the following, that we start with a number. In all examples that we gave, we start with a number, and then we are told it cannot be counted. But there is a stage of numbers. What indicates that via the counting, we come to a reality that cannot be counted. It's a process. It starts with a number, and then via the number, via the counting, we come to a reality that cannot be counted. That's what we see on a superficial level, and it has to be understood. In order to understand it, let's see what a number is all about. A number is basically defining a border, borders, defining a place, defining a capacity. If I say number five, it's not four, it's not six. It gives me a place in a line, starting with one and going further and further. That's number five, that's its place. And it tells me the quantity, it tells me what is there. There are five pieces of paper, five slices of bread, whatever it will be, five coins, but it's a quantity of something, right? And it's defined. It has boundaries, it has borders. So everything that is counted, that has a number, has a certain place and a certain capacity, a certain potential. And this is a number, okay? Interestingly enough, in Hebrew, the word border is called sfar. We speak about towns that are on the sfar, on the border. Sfar and misfar are from the same root, because a number is giving the borders, the dimensions, the place, the capacity, the potential of something that is counted. When Hashem created a world, he wanted it to be a world where things are in the order of numbers, meaning that everything that is created is limited, is in within a certain border, in within a certain structure, and in a certain place in the total picture. That's how Hashem wanted it. And we have really many groups of things. We have flowers, we have animals, we have inanimate things, different groups, everyone organized in a certain structure They are all interconnected. And when you look at them, you get the concept of a number. It's a structure. Everyone has a place there. It's clear what is the role of this particular thing in this structure. And obviously, he can achieve what he needs to do in within this structure by understanding and knowing what his boundaries are, what his borders are, what his potential is, what his place is. That's how Hashem created the world. He wanted that via this reality of numbers, we will come to the realization and to the place of not counting, of what is beyond numbers, what is not in within this structure. And let's try to understand it. There is a pasuk that describes how Hashem created the world. And it says, Hashem, God, bechokhma yasad eretz. He created this world with wisdom. If you look at what is here in this world, this is under the name wisdom, because we can study it. We can describe the rules that it runs by. We can find cause and effect. This is an area that can be understood by us. And since creation till today, there are many, many, many who try to understand it. And they reveal different things about this creation and how it functions. What each creature is, and how is interrelated to others, what are the rules that it functions by, and so on and so on. So this whole world is under what we call wisdom. But there is another pasuk in Hiob, in Job, that says, v'hachochma, all this wisdom, that wisdom that we can discover, me'ayin timatze, comes from a place that for us is nothing, meaning we have no access to it, no understanding of it. It's beyond our comprehension. What there is here since the day of creation till today, we can try to figure out. And we do all along and discover more and more. But all this wisdom, all these things that can be counted, because they are in the structure of what we can see and relate to, are here to teach us where they came from and what we can get to via being in this place that is structured in such a way. Meaning, in other words, we have no clue about what took place before creation. And it's a reality that we can grasp. Our wisdom starts only from Bereshit. After Hashem created the world, he created a certain many systems, all run by certain rules connected to each other. Everyone has his own parameters, own potential. That's where we can start to figure out things. But we don't know anything about what was before. But via the wisdom that we can discover in this world, we can come to the realization and to the understanding that it comes from somewhere, somewhere that is beyond us. Obviously, we don't understand God. We don't know who God is. But we see his actions, and they indicate that there was somebody who put them into place. And that's their purpose. So we can look at creation as a whole. From the day Hashem created the world till our time and age, as a reality that is created with them, it can be figured out by us. And our job is via this creation that is limited, that we understand, that we can comprehend. Of course, even in creation, there is a lot that we still don't understand, but at least we can try, right? We have tools and we discover more and more with time, right? But via it, we have to come to a place that is beyond counting, that is not limited. Here, everything is limited. Life itself as well. We are here for 120 years at best, and then we are not here anymore, right? We are given certain capacities and no more. Our intellect is limited. Our capacity to feel is limited. When we are exposed to too many feelings, we get overwhelmed. We might not be able to, deal with it, right? We have a certain capacity. We are numbers. We are in the world of numbers, in the world of limitations. But via them, we have to come to a place that is not limited. Now, this unlimited reality was the reality of first man before the sin. But as a result of the sin, we don't have access to this reality. But we are supposed to get there via the reality that we are at now. And we are taught that Hashem planted in us eternal life. We say, V'chayei olam nata betochein. Hashem instilled in us, gave us the ability to put so to seek, he gave us a seed that can grow into something that will grow forever without limitations. Then Mashiach will come and the resurrection of the dead will take place, will be in a reality that will be endless. Now we say the term endless, but it's very, very hard for us to relate to it. Endless means even if you spend every moment of your life, no sleeping, no eating, no nothing, just sitting and counting, and you'll come to an unbelievable high number, it still did not take anything from eternity because eternity is endless. I once saw a very beautiful analogy that makes it a little closer to our mind. Imagine a small little bird standing on the shore next to the ocean. And once in a million years, it drinks one drop of water. And try to imagine that the bird is doing it for so many years till the ocean is dry. Beyond our capacity to imagine, right? We can say the words, but to relate to it, we can't. After all this time passed, still, nothing was taken away from eternity. Because the definition of eternity is that it's endless. So no matter how much you counted, you didn't touch it. It's always more and more and more and more and more. And we were created for a time like this, right? Meaning to a reality that is not bound to time, that is going forever. But not only in terms of numbers, but it's a different reality. Because what was the example that we gave or the way the Torah defines it? Chaye olam nata betochein. It's planting something inside us. What happens when you plant a tree? You put a seed in the ground. It's not only that the seed will exist forever. This is not what it is. Constant growth will come out of this seed. Again and again and again. A seed is a possibility to create new life. The reality after the resurrection of the dead will be a reality that is unlimited, which means that on a spiritual level, there will be always growth, more understanding, more realizations, more clarity about Hashem, Torah, reality. is constant growth. But this is not a reality here. Here we are limited. If we would be able to see all that we'll see then now, we would have no free choice. Hashem wants us to be able to achieve it on our own. So he put us into a limited reality in order that we, via this world of numbers, of limitations, will come to the place that is unlimited. How is it done? That's where the counting is coming into the picture. When we look at anything that exists in this world, we have to look at it as an object or a creature that is supposed to indicate to us, to reveal to us in its particular way where it came from and lead us to where we are supposed to get to. I'll give an example. We see an ant, a small little ant crawling on the ground. And the life of an ant is a very productive life. Without going into details, they are very hard workers, the ants, and they collect food in their life way, way, way beyond what they can eat in their reality, right? And Hashem created such a creature in this world. When we look at it, it has to bring us to two things. One is, how wonderful is it? See what Hashem created, a small creature like this, and see what it's capable of. And it has a specific character. It's very industrial, hardworking. It's not lazy. It has to bring us to overcome the obstacles that we have when we are faced with laziness, right? So it indicates to us two things: A, the wisdom, the godliness that created it. And second, it's supposed to lead us to something that brings us to where we have to be. And this is true not only for creatures that we see around us, but mainly by looking at ourselves. That's the concept of counting the Jewish people. The Jewish people are counted. What is the term in the Torah? Right? There are a few terms in the Torah for counting. One is limnot. The root is mem nun hei. Limnot is to count. Like minyan is a group of 10 people. We count 10. That's a minyan. So it comes from counting. And we see the root here. Minyan, mem nun hei, right? The same as in counting, limnot. There is another term, and this is lifkod. Pei kuf daled is the root. And as I said in the beginning of the class, the book of Bamidbar is called the book of Pudim. From this root, the book of those who are counted, and the name of the counted comes from the root Pei kuf daled. In our week's portion, it says, Se'u et rosh, lift up the head. That's not the regular term for counting, but we'll soon understand why the Torah uses it. So let's first see what is limnot and what is lifkod, these two roots. What do they mean in Hebrew? So limnot comes from lemanot, to appoint somebody to a task, to a goal, to a certain role that is given to them. When we count something, we show that we value it, that it has an importance. Otherwise, we don't count it, right? When the Jewish people are counted, what the Torah tells them is, you have a number. You are part of a system, a huge system that Hashem created, and you are put in a certain place at a certain time, given specific tools, because you are appointed. You are the one that has to accomplish something in this system. That's Limnot. And interestingly enough, commentary say the Ramban says that when the Moshe and Aaron counted the Jewish people, they indicated to each and every one of them what is their specific goal that they were created from. It wasn't just going by and giving a number, but they indicated to each and every one why are they here and what do they have to accomplish, right? Interestingly enough, Pakod, Lifkod, is also a root that indicates to give a position, like officers are called pkidim because they are appointed to accomplish something. They are given an area of responsibility. So when we count, when the Torah tells us count the Jewish people, or when we count the Omer, what we say is this day, this Jew are given a particular role that they have to accomplish. They are put in a particular system at a certain time in order to accomplish something. But this reality, what is the role? And the commitment to do it is a choice. There is another choice. And this is to look at the cause and effect, to look at the wisdom and remain in this framework of the numbers, not to look at who created, and not to look at where is it leading to. Not the me'ayin bata, where are you coming from, and not le'an ata olech, where are you going to. Right? That's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, in Ethics of Our Fathers, tells us to do. See where you come from, see where you are going to. Right? A person can also live in the present, function in this world of limitations, what we call derech hateva, the natural way of the world, and remain in this framework. Non-Jewish people are not obligated to go beyond it, but even they have to know the who created. Okay, where it's coming from, because even via logic, we can come to the conclusion that somebody must have created it, even if you don't know him and can't comprehend him. So the obligation to know that there is a God, the universal obligation to every human being, right? Now, people who remain in this framework might end up attributing godly powers to objects in nature. Those that seem to run the show, like the sun, the moon, the things that are powerful in this world and are a cause for a lot that is happening here, like the sun. Take away the sun and there is no reality. They attribute them godliness. How do we call it in Hebrew? Worshipping an idol, right? Avodah Zarah. We call it the gods that they choose, we call Elohim Acherim. There is Elohim, a name of God, and the same name can be used, of course, in a wrong way, to other objects that are powerful, and their worshippers call them Elohim, even though they are foreign to godliness. Em acherim, they are not the real thing. Let's look at the word Elohim. The word Elohim is a combination of two words, ele and mi. If you look at the letters, it has in it two words, ele. Elohim, the first part is Aleph Lamed Hey, ele, these are, and then Yud Mem, right? It's two words, ele and mi. When you look at the multitude of the things that you can point a finger and say, these are, meaning the things that you see, that you understand, that you can grasp, and you separate them from the me, who created them, that's worshiping other gods. We Jewish people have the ability and the call via the counted things, the things that we can understand, to come to where we don't understand and will be given to us at a certain time. Now, it's very interesting. If we look at the word mispar, a number, what indicates, as we said, limitations, right? Boundaries. If we look at this verb, the numerical value is 380. 380. If we add to it, to the verb mispar, the numerical value of me, who created all of these limited things, which is 50, mem is 40 and yud is 10, so it's 40. So if we do 380 plus 40, we get the numerical value of the verb nefesh, soul. Fascinating. We'll look at all the things that are around us. There are so many. It might be difficult to see the power behind all of it that unites it, that makes it into one work, one creation of a one God, and the goal that where it can lead to, unite them all and make them into one entity. It's many, many creatures. But if each one of them, in his particular specific way, according to how he was created, reveals the Creator, there is something that unifies all of creation. There is a soul behind it. There is a God behind this. And it makes it into one entity and not many, many, many separate things that are many creatures, but they don't indicate where they came from and don't lead to where it's supposed to bring us. Okay? Now, when we connect the two, when we connect the ele, the many, to the me, to the one who created them, we get really Elohim, the creator. Right? Now, as I said, we cannot understand, comprehend the Tzavias Hashem, and we do not know and have no access to what took place before creation. It's beyond us. So the mind, the brain, cannot connect us to the beginning because it doesn't have the capacity. What was before is not in within the parameters of our capability. We can relate to via our mind only to the physical reality, right? To what's going on here. In this world, we can even discover the wisdom, which is not tangible, but it's part of creation that we can understand. But when we come to what was before, we can't understand it. So how do we connect it? Connect to it, right? It's beyond our comprehension. So how do we connect to the one? Let's go back to the word limnot, to count. Limnot, mem nun hey, the root, is the same root as the word emuna. You hear the mem and the nun and the hey in emuna? Via the counting, or before we start counting, before we start the process of discovering why anything that was created, and how it could serve the purpose, we have to realize that there is a creator, not via our brain. The brain cannot comprehend it, but we can relate to it via our faith. We believe that there is a creator, and we know that he relies on us And we can rely on him. Because let's look at emunah. Believing, trusting. Where is it coming from? I trust, I believe somebody who can commit himself, and I can realize that he will go ahead with the commitment. Otherwise, I won't believe. Otherwise, I won't trust. Right? When I am starting the process of my mission, the fulfillment of my mission in life, when I start to reveal Hashem in my life by the means that He gave me, the time, the place, the potential, I am starting because I trust that Hashem created me for the right reason, that He trusts me that I can complete and accomplish whatever I need to. I can rely on Him. And that He relies on me to be able to do it. It's written about Abraham. We say it in the davening every morning. Umasata et levavo ne'eman lefanecha. Hashem found the heart of Abraham ne'eman, trustworthy. He was trustworthy in front of Hashem. Trustworthy to do what? To carry the whole world and take it to its purpose. That's what Hashem trusted Abraham with. He created the world, and it has to come to something that is not limited, something that is amazing. Via going through this process of being in a limited world. Who undertook this job? This full commitment? Abraham, and we after them, after him at the time of the giving of the Torah. So that's who we are, and that's what's the meaning of counting the Jewish people, telling them there is something that you know before, you believe and trust Hashem, as a result of it, in the reality of the counted reality, right, of the counted, of the limited, you reveal Hashem, the one that is beyond this reality, right? Slowly, slowly, and eventually come to the unlimited. So let's go now to the Omer. We count the Omer. What is the Omer? We have the new harvest. We take a portion as big as one human being needs per day, a little bit, and then bring it as an offering to Hashem. But it has to be the beginning, meaning we cannot eat from the harvest of the new year before we bring it. What we say by doing it is, I take what I have, what I was given. I am a number. I am part of a system. I have a specific role. I was given means to fulfill it. I acknowledge that all that I have and all that I am is given to me by Hashem in order to connect to Him by revealing Him in this limited reality. So I take the beginning of what I produced and I say, it's not me. This is a gift from Shammai. This has to connect me to Hashem. So via bringing an offering, I connect what I have to Hashem. It's very interesting. The word Omer, Ayin Mem Resh, has the same numerical value as the word yesh, what there is. Yesh is there is. Everything that there is, that is given to me, I take and connect to Hashem. And from now, after I realize this, then this is my beginning process. Right? I just came out of Mitzrayim. I start a process of revealing Hashem. My first stage is to recognize where am I coming from. Hashem created me for a mission and gave me means for it. And I have to accomplish it by accounting, meaning taking every moment as a means to connect. And that's why all through the 49 days of counting, how do we count? We say today is the first day to the Omer. Tomorrow, the second day to the Omer. I connect all that will come after, all that I'll use, all that I'll have to the very beginning, to the realization of the first day. It's here to connect, and I connect it. And I'm adding more and more and more days, more and more time to this realization. Where do I end? On the 50th day. The 50th day, we don't count anymore. We count 49 days. But the Torah says, Tisperu chamishim yom, count 50 days. What is the 50th day? It's Shavuot. What was the nature of the day that we received the Torah? Hashem showed us the reality of after the investment, the reality that is beyond the numbers. The unlimited. He revealed himself to us. He opened up to us the whole world, upper realm, lower level, and showed us that all this limited reality that we see has beyond it godliness that gives it existence, and that's unlimited. And he teaches me that's why I'm keeping the Aseret HaDibrot that I was given on Shavuot, the Torah that I was given on Shavuot. I can slowly, slowly move, even in this world, to a reality that is unlimited. Of course, eventually it will be at the time of Mashiach on the level that we cannot comprehend now. But I'm heading towards it and I taste it as I'm moving. Chamishim is the numerical value of me. On the 50th day, we saw Hashem, we came to see the me, we came to see Hashem on a level that is impossible in within the framework of this world. It was a one day that showed us where we are heading towards. As we know, on this day we came back to the level of first man before the sin, right? Where he was in a reality that was very, very spiritual, very different than the limited reality that we are in. Later on at the Chet HaEgel, we failed again, right? And we are again in a limited reality. But we have what it takes in order to go further. So when do we start counting the Omer? After the first day of Pesach. What happened at the first day of Pesach? We came out of Mitzrayim. Let's see what is coming out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim comes from Metzar. Metzar is in confinement. The Egyptians are limited. They live in a reality that is limited because they don't see the me, the who, the one that created it, the one that all of it comes from. When Moshe came to Paro for the first time and told him, "Let my people go," he said, "Me Hashem, who is God?" We say we know the me. Our job is to reveal him here. He said, "Who is God?" Meaning, he lived in a very limited reality, a reality of nature without seeing what is before. And we are without seeing where it leads to, living the present in the best way. And we saw a world with many, many powers, a world of many. As we said, what unites the variety of things that are in this world are the godliness, right? But if you don't see it, it's a world that includes many that have nothing to do with each other. Right? Many powers that are not united. Coming out of Mitzrayim meant to go beyond this way of looking at life. In the beginning, Hashem gave us 10 plagues. He showed us that the reality is not just what we see, that Hashem can do with it whatever is beyond nature. So he revealed to us the me to a certain extent. But then, so to speak, he stepped back and let us reveal it via our own journey. The book of Bamidbar is the book of the journey of the Jewish people. They received the Torah, they became the Jewish nation. And now let's see what did they do with it? Where did they go with it? What were the ups and downs? What were they walking towards? How did they correct the mistakes that they did on the way? Because after all, we have free choice and we can fail too. How did they do tshuva? How did they got up again and started from the beginning without being discouraged? That's the book of Bamidbar. And that's our book. That's our journey of life. That's the journey of the Jewish nation all along history. Right? So they started to count. They understood every day counts. Every day can bring us closer. Every day can give us an ability to live a life beyond these limitations. What did they work on? Emunah, strengthening their connection to Hashem. So the counting starts with the Emunah. We go through the night of Pesach and we reveal Hashem. Via the journey, we come to a deeper level of Emunah when we see more, as we saw at Har Sinai on Shavuot. Right? So this is the journey. It's very interesting. On Pesach, we bring a korban. Right? This korban has to be eaten at the night of Pesach. And it's a korban that is brought by families. If it's a small family that cannot eat so much meat as an animal, right? So a few families come together. But everyone has to be counted in the group and is obligated to eat part of the meat. So we are given roles at the night of Pesach via eating meat, bringing an offering, living in this limited reality, we slowly, slowly come out of it. At the night of Pesach, the Jewish people also did things that is beyond nature. They put the blood that was the blood of the God of the Egyptians on the outside the door, and they're not afraid. They went beyond the limited. So, and this is what we are doing in our lives too. Nature tells us, this is delicious, eat it. This is wonderful, you'll get more money, do it. Doesn't matter how you get it, and so on and so on. And we stand against nature and we do what's right, fighting it, trying to do it better and better and better and take advantage of every day. This means to be counted and via being counted to come to what is beyond. That's why we say the Jewish nation started with numbers. Abraham 1, Yitzchak 2, then 70, then 600,000. But Hashem says, I want to show you how I make you many in this world and still one nation. Right? Now, I want to conclude with something very, very interesting. At the time of Sfirat HaOmer, when we come to Omer, what do we do? What do we dedicate ourselves to? To work on character traits, right? Every week it's divided into 7 weeks. On each week we are focused, right, on accomplishing something in terms of purifying ourselves, taking care of character traits, developing them, right? Getting rid of the negative and developing them to be, to bring achievements, right? Why is this exactly what's done on those days? And interestingly enough, on these days, when the students of Rabbi Akiva, according to their very, very high level, did not act based on perfect midot, of course, on their very, very, very high level, they were killed on this time. This is a time when we work on midot, wisely. What stands in our way of fulfilling the mission? It's character traits that are not perfect. And they are also separating us from each other. The ideal reality, when a person really does what he's supposed to do, he becomes part of the Jewish nation. The whole nation is united and becomes one, like a soul. When we are on a spiritual level, the right spiritual level, physicality doesn't separate us from each other. We are beyond this. We use the character traits just to bond with each other. right? Let's say they are jealous. They become jealous of people who achieve a lot and follow their footsteps, right? So if we perfect our character traits, we have the capability to become one, and then it's one nation of one God. That's basically the goal. When we are not doing our job, we are separate beings. No common goal that unites us enough to become one nation of Hashem. So the preparation for Shavuot is after we became a nation, after Hashem shows us our capacity, and that He is our God. So we know where we are coming from. Hashem created us, He wants us as a nation. He gave us a way via things that are limited to reveal in this limited reality Him. And the more we reveal Him, the more we connect to Him via mitzvot between men and Hashem, and also via mitzvot between men and men. Because the ability to do the mitzvot between men and men in the proper way has to do with perfecting character traits, overcoming the physical obstacles that are on our way, and becoming more godly, and then we connect to Hashem. Right? So that's why the book that discusses the journey of the Jewish people, the first generation, and how they became the nation of Hashem, is the book that called is called Chumash HaPkudim, the Chumash of those who are counted. They know that they count. They know that the whole world waits for their particular mission in bringing the world to purpose. They commit themselves to it, being that they rely on Hashem, who assigned them to the job, what indicates that He trusts that they can do it, and are ready to go through the ups and downs and the ongoing challenges that are presented to them in order to get to a place that is beyond any description. The place where all the things that block our vision and make us feel limited are gone, and it's a beginning of the reality that is forever, but we can't even grasp, right? But not only will it be time-wise forever, but constantly growing, constantly giving us more understanding, more clarity, more connection to Hashem, what means that the level of pleasure will constantly go further and further and further. Okay, I'll stop here and open up for questions.
Before we open up for questions, I want to announce the class is
Yeah,
Le'ilu
okay, go ahead.
Nishmas. The class is Le'ilu Nishmas, Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai.
Okay, before
And
we go to the questions, I was asked in the previous class if the children of Noah are taught Torah in the womb. No. And the fact that they have these things that we are told, right, that the Malach does in order that we will forget, it's a way to tell us symbolically what's happening. It's a concept, right? So even if a non-Jew has it, it does not mean that he necessarily learned Torah in the womb. So now I'll open to the new.
no, thank you for the explanation. I didn't quite get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I didn't quite understand. So that little indentation it's different knowledge that they have than we have.
No. The indentation is only a way to tell us in a symbolic way that we forgot whatever we learned. But it
Okay, so they
serves.
learned, but they learned something too. Is that what the Rebbe is saying?
No, they don't learn anything in the womb. They are born into a world of nature and they're functioning within this framework.
Right, but they have that sign as well.
So I'm saying the sign is not necessarily the indication, it's a symbolic thing.
But why do they have it as well? I don't understand.
Because it does not mean that whoever doesn't have it was not taught or did not forget, right? It's many times our sages take something physical, right, in order to describe something spiritual. But it doesn't mean that on the physical level, it's exactly what we hear.
don't know
Meaning,
how many times.
an Andrew can have the intention, and he does not indicate that he forgot, that he was taught and forgot. There is
Right,
something
but
that they know by birth, and this they have the capacity to believe in a God, to do the seven mitzvot Bnei Noach. But it's not a process of teaching. It's something they are born with the capacity. So,
okay.
okay.
Yeah,
Is it all? Sorry.
I just want to say the shiur you gave today was chock full, so full that it just summed up to everything. Thank you.
I hope it's not too much.
No,
Please, if
it
you
was
feel that
fantastic.
I teach too much at 1 hour, so write me an email. I'm very open
No,
to any remark.
I'll speak for everyone. It was great.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay,
Rabbits
Randy,
and Rabbits
did
and
you want?
Cone. This was
Yes.
a delightful talk. So thank you. Time. It sounds like the first creation that God created was time. In the beginning, God created time. So why was that the first creation, and why does it flow forward? And do you think we can go back in time? Like, what do you see of time?
Okay. There are three things that were created. Each one of them is enabling us to fulfill our mission. In each one of them creates parameters, right? Time is one, space is another, and living creatures is the third. Three dimensions. Each one of them is a means that was given to us in order to reveal Hashem. The reality of Hashem is beyond time. By him, past, present, future is the same. If you see here in this world, past, present, future, you have no free choice. Right?
Okay.
The ability to learn something, and over time, it becomes weaker. Its influence becomes weaker, and you have to renew it. It's an opportunity to grow. Right? There are different types of times that have different potentials, the holiday, Shabbat, weekdays. Each one of them is a means that via it we can grow further. Okay? The same with space. You have the whole world, you have the land of Israel, you have Jerusalem, you have the Beit HaMikdash. It's different capacities that we can use in order to connect to Hashem.
So then
Of course.
time is relative. All time is different times, and you're saying space is different too. Jerusalem space is different than New York space.
Right. More than this, we are told that every day is, so to speak, calling upon us to accomplish something that cannot be accomplished in any other time. Because
Wow.
in any moment in time, we are in a different situation. We see differently, we feel differently, circumstances are different. So every moment of time is an opportunity to accomplish in a way that you couldn't before or after. The same way that every human being, right, is different from the others, and that's why you can accomplish something that nobody else can. And that's our call, the same way with every moment. That's why when the Torah describes the life of Abraham, the Torah says that when he passed away, the Torah says, Baba Yamim, he came with his days, meaning every moment fulfilled its purpose. Clear?
Delightfully clear. And then the other question is, do you think the world was created by numbers?
It was created by the letters of the Torah.
Which represents some of the numbers,
They
which.
have also a numerical value, but what it really is, it's spiritual powers. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet stands for a spiritual power. And it's a whole wisdom. The shape and the inner essence of the letter, and obviously it has Kabbalistic meanings as well, right? There are many different levels to study the Hebrew alphabet, and those who really study Torah on a very high level understand creation in a way that others don't. But each one, according to his understanding, has to take it, and utilize it in the best way that he can.
Wow, thank you.
Very welcome. Okay, this class is based on a class of Rav Moshe Shapira, Zichrono Livracha. I want to give the source, right? It's a class in Hebrew, so I cannot refer you to the tape unless you speak Hebrew. It's Bamidbar Tavshin Samech. If you speak Hebrew, you can listen to it. Obviously, this is an adaptation to what we are doing and with an addition from the Chiddushei Harim. The concept of between men and men and the unity of the world I brought from Chiddushei Harim. Okay, so have a good week. Next week, Mirza Hashem, the class is about Shavuot. Next Tuesday, Mirza Hashem,
And it'll
because
be
there is
on
no parsha.
Tuesday. It'll be on
It will be
Tuesday,
on
the class.
Tuesday, not Monday. Originally, we did Monday, Tuesday, and then I realized that in America, we don't have a parsha because you have 2 days of Shavuot. In Israel, it's Friday, Shabbat, but Shabbat is a regular Shabbat, so we have a parsha. Here, we don't have a parsha because it's the second day of Shavuot.
Right.
So, because the parsha class, we'll do it the week after, and we move to Tuesday, the class on Shavuot. So,
Wonderful.
I'll see you then in your session.
Merit session. Thank you, Robinson.
Okay. All
Thank
the
you.
best. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.